Welcome to This Is That with Steve Berger, where we bring kingdom clarity to cultural chaos. Now, This Is That.
Welcome back to the Seven Spirits of Sodom, everybody. We are diving into part two today. And before I say anything else, I just want to say up front, this is heavy. Remember last time I told you, this isn't for the faint of heart. We're getting ready to dive into some stuff that is really, really troubling. And so kind of sober up real quick and get ready, because we're going to talk about stuff today that is, it's tough to study, it's tough to say, and it's tough for you to hear. And so part of me apologizes, but part of me also just says, man, if we don't understand what's going on, if we don't become like the sons of Issachar, who know what's going on and know what to do, we're going to be in bigger trouble in this nation. So, all right. With all that said, I hope y'all did your homework by reading Genesis 18:22 through chapter 19, verse 29. It's our foundational passage for this series, and it's really important that you read that. If you haven't yet, go back and read it. All right, so just by way of brief review, we talked last week about the days of Lot and the days of Sodom. Jesus himself validated the story about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, when he returns, it's going to be like the days of Lot. And we talked last time about how utterly clueless they were. They were going about their own corrupt wickedness right up until the moment of judgment. Didn't matter how many times Lot had warned them, they were just clueless to what was going on. They continued in their own clueless way, and then judgment came. Friends, we don't want to be like that here in America. We don't want to miss the signs that are happening all around us that let us know that Jesus' return is very, very soon. Now, a quick observation about Sodom that might surprise you. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10 says that Sodom and Gomorrah were like the garden of the Lord. Think about that. Sodom and Gomorrah, before it was destroyed, was likened to the Garden of Eden. Lush and green and vibrant and life-giving, beautiful, abounding in the blessing and the goodness of God. But what did the people of Sodom and Gomorrah do? How did they repay the Lord's abundant blessing? They repaid him with a perversion and a wickedness that was beyond compare. And again, when I think about how good God has been to America, how blessed we are here in this country in so many ways, the natural resource, the beauty of the land, all of it, have we become like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? And are we repaying the abundant blessing of God, the bounty of the Lord, with perversion and wickedness? I hope not. But it seems like there's a case to be built that we're following in those sinful ancient footsteps. Today, I want to talk to you about the first spirit of Sodom. Again, get ready, beloved. I want to talk to you about generational perversion. Generational perversion. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 through 5, the scripture says, "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, 'Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way.' And they said, 'No, but we will spend the night in the open square.' But Lot insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, listen, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.'" In other words, they were wanting to, in generational perversion, have sexual acts with these men who were actually angels. Think about that. Bring these two men out to us that we may know them carnally. Old and young, everyone from every court was going to participate in this gang rape of wickedness. Friends, in Sodom, generational perversion prevailed. All had been groomed. All were involved in sexual perversion and sexual dysfunction. Now, I'm sad to say, when I think about America today, we have a history of sexual generational perversion that is only on the increase. So let's talk about in America today. In 1978, there was an organization that incorporated out of San Francisco. Now get ready for this if you haven't heard this before. The North American Man-Boy Love Association. It was to encourage the public acceptance of consensual sexual relationship between men and boys. Not men and men or men and young men, but men and boys. Now, in the last 40 years since that's happened, it's only gotten worse here in the United States of America. I want to run through several examples that this is heart-wrenching. It's hard for me to study this again. It's hard for me to talk about it. It's hard for you to hear, but somebody's got to say something. Somebody's got to do something. Listen to this. There's a professor, Alan Walker, 34 years old at Old Dominion University. She argued recently that it wasn't necessarily immoral for adults to be sexually attracted to kids. She believed that pedophiles should be referred to as minor attracted persons. She insisted that it was important to use the term minor attracted persons instead of pedophile because it's less stigmatizing. Can you imagine that? Like, it's important for her to destigmatize pedophilia and attraction toward adults and children, sexual attraction. They want to destigmatize that. See, here's what happens. We start relabeling things to make it more culturally, socially acceptable. And then what happens? The very act then becomes socially and culturally acceptable. This is how this works. It's a slow, steady deterioration of culture that has to be recognized and has to be responded to. Now, critics argued that Walker's terminology destigmatized sex offenders. You think? In the statement announcing Walker's resignation, which, thank God, Old Dominion made her resign, the assistant professor insisted the research that she had done was intended to prevent child sexual abuse and better understand would-be sex offenders. Okay, that's a real nice way to kind of package this deception, but it doesn't hold water at all. You start normalizing and destigmatizing generational perversion, it's not just going to be to better understand it, it's going to be to promote it. And that's exactly what we see happening here in the U.S. She said that research was mischaracterized by some in the media and online, partly on the basis of her own trans identity. You see, Walker herself is transgender. And instead of just saying, hey, people are against this because it's wrong, she plays the victim card and says, no, people are just coming after me because I'm trans myself. See, no personal responsibility, blaming everybody else, normalizing perversion. Friends, this is dangerous stuff. This professor also wrote a book. Listen to this title: A Long Dark Shadow, Minor Attracted People and Their Pursuit of Dignity. You mean dignity for being a pedophile? Are you kidding me? She had earlier acknowledged that the use of the term minor attracted persons suggests to some that it's okay to be attracted to children. She said, labeling anyone wholly by their sexual desires doesn't indicate anything about their morality. Can you believe that? That their sexual desires don't indicate anything about their morality. So you can be a, quote, moral person by being attracted to children as an adult. That is so backwards and sick and disgusting. We're calling good evil and evil good. The prophet Isaiah said, woe unto us when we follow those days and those actions. She said, from my perspective, there's no morality or immorality attached to attraction to anyone because no one can control who they're attracted to at all. Again, no responsibility. Oh, I'm attracted to children. I want to have sex with children, but it's not my fault. I can't control it. Are you kidding me? She goes on. In other words, it's not who we're attracted to that's either okay or not okay. It's our behaviors in responding to that attraction that are either okay or not okay. Walker said child sex abuse is never ever okay, but that having sexual urges toward children isn't necessarily wrong, as long as those carnal desires aren't acted upon. Friends, again, can you believe what is being promoted in the United States of America today? Another very, very interesting twist on this, which I've never heard anybody comment on. I told you that she herself is a transgender, and she uses the pronouns they and them. Now listen to me, friends. The only time in the Bible where plural pronouns are used are for an individual who is demon-possessed. You remember the story of Legion, Mark chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 and verse 12? A single person who used plural pronouns when he spoke was demon-possessed. I'm just saying, friends, when you open up yourself to this kind of demonic generational perversion, when you try to make right wrong and wrong right, you are opening up yourself to a level of demonic wickedness that you don't need to be messing with. All right, let's move on. We're talking about just the normalization of generational perversion. Multiple TED Talks have been given in the U.S. and Europe about normalizing pedophilia. You can search it. All these things you can search and look it up. We're getting it from all these different angles. What about this? Drag Queen Story Hour. Y'all have seen this, I think. Let me give you some quotes directly from the Drag Queen Story Hour website. Drag Queen Story Hour is just what it sounds like. Drag queens reading stories to children in libraries, schools, and bookstores. Drag Queen Story Hour captures the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. In spaces like this, kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions. Can I stop there for just a moment? In other words, the trans people involved in Drag Queen Story Hour, they look at people who are binary in nature. You're either a male or a female, a man or a woman. They look at that as rigid gender restrictions. And they imagine a world where people can present however they want, where dress up is real. Now, Drag Queen Story Hour started in San Francisco in 2015. It started out as drag queens reading stories to children in libraries and grew into a global phenomenon. It's growing. It's taking over. Drag Queen Story Hour now offers literary and creative programming for kids and teens of all ages, listen to this, led by drag queens, drag kings, and creatures all over the world. Creatures? They refer to themselves as creatures? How diabolical. How insulting to the God that made us in his own beautiful image. Drag Queen Story Hour is a global network of local organizations, each of which is independently managed and funded. It goes on. I don't know if you heard this story. It's absolutely heartbreaking. Again, just recently, an 11-year-old trans kid, a little boy acting like a little girl, was brought to a gay bar in New York by his parents, dressed in drag, dancing and moving provocatively in front of a bunch of gay men as they threw dollar bills at him. This is real, friends. I think, oh my gosh, how horrible that these men are throwing dollar bills at the child. And then I go, well, what about the parents? What are the parents doing taking their 11-year-old boy dressed like a girl into a gay bar to dance provocatively and to have gay men throw money at the child? This is child abuse. This is the grooming of generational perversion right in front of us. This is the days of Lot and the days of Sodom happening right now, right here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. What about California? This might not surprise you. California, law AB 1184. In the text of AB 1184, and I quote, "Sensitive services are defined as all healthcare services related to mental or behavioral health, sexual and reproductive health, sexually transmitted infections, substance use disorder, gender-affirming care, and intimate partner violence. Furthermore, the bill describes a protected individual, listen, as any adult insured covered under a health insurance policy or a minor who can consent to a healthcare service without the consent of a parent or legal guardian pursuant to state or federal law." Here's what this means. Your 13-year-old child in the state of California can make radical, life-altering decisions, such as having an abortion without your knowledge or consent as a parent. Also, your minor can choose to get treated with cross-sex hormones or puberty blockers to assist in changing their gender, and your insurance company doesn't have to tell you or explain the services your child received. That's the law in the state of California in the year 2022. These are the days of Lot. These are the days of Sodom. We are grooming our children for generational perversion. January 10th, 2022, USA Today, doing an article trying to normalize pedophilia. Just one of another, a whole, listen, friends, these stories are coming out more and more all the time. What about the parents down in Florida whose 12-year-old daughter was being secretly groomed by a public school counselor? That counselor, while this child was in school and being groomed to become a transgender child, this counselor was publicly calling this child by the opposite sex and with a different name, publicly. So much so that the child was then bullied and attempted to hang herself twice. And the parents were never told what the public school system was doing. This same thing happened in California. It's happening more and more all the time. Generational perversion has and is setting in to more dangerous and degrading ways all the time. Today in the U.S., multi-generational perversion seems to be coming more and more normal. Again, friends, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when Jesus returns. This is that. Now, next time we're going to unpack the demonic tactic and strategy of intimidation. Today, we call it cancel culture. We talk about the pressure of wicked people doing wicked things, trying to surround and intimidate the righteous, those who want to stand for truth, those who want to stand for Judeo-Christian values, coming and intimidating them, silencing them, canceling them, to shut them down so that they can continue their wicked agenda. It says in Genesis 19:5 that the people of Sodom surrounded Lot's house. That surrounding was to intimidate them. It was to pressure them to do that which was wicked. That same intimidation is happening today. We're going to talk about it next time in part 3 of the 7 spirits of Sodom. Friends, we need to pray. We need to speak. We need to act. The hour is urgent. Let's not allow these things to continue on our watch in our day. Let's understand the times and let's know what we need to do. God bless you. Keep America in your prayers and keep the church in America in your prayers. They both need it desperately. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to This Is That with Steve Berger. For more information, go to steveberger.org. Instagram at Pastor Steve Berger. Facebook, Steve Berger. And our YouTube channel, Pastor Steve Berger. Thanks again for listening to This Is That.